Welcome to St. Bartholomew's on this Merry Christmas, and I wish you a joyous and healthy New Year as well. Judy and I are delighted to be back at St. Bartholomew's. I think this is our fourth visit, and we're having a wonderful time celebrating Christmas and Advent with you. The prophet Isaiah is the primary bearer of the word during this Christmas season. He speaks of the rich images of creation and redemption. For he who created the skies and stretched them out, for the waters will break forth and streams of life will flow in the desert. The book of Isaiah resounds with stunning words of hope and encouragement to you and to me. Be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. And then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. I'm not known to be a very good shopper. I procrastinate and put off, and I sometimes take a day or a week or a month or even a year to buy it if I'm going to at all. But maybe about 20 years ago, I went downtown Newport, Rhode Island, and looking for a book, went into my favorite bookstore, and there were these beautiful photographs, all framed, for sale. And one caught my eye, and immediately I bought it. For many years, it hung on the wall of my classroom at St. George's. It was a picture, a beautiful picture, of the Grand Canyon. And the place, of course, as you know, where the riverbeds are old and ancient. And the water was coming, the river or stream was coming around the corner. And there was a mist in the air, and the sun was coming through the mist and glistening off the river. I put that picture on my wall, but the thing that impressed me equally as much as the picture was the name of the picture. It was simply called Eternal Rhythms. Eternal Rhythms. Where is it in your life and mine that you and I can experience the eternal rhythms of God? There are manifold places because God is omniscient and God is omnipresent. This morning on this Christmas day, I would like to think and share with you some thoughts on the eternal rhythm of God's presence in our lives. Sometimes, God's presence is known to us very clearly through the beauty of creation. Sometimes through the medium of music, often through the medium of music, and always through the experience of compassion. When I think of the beauty of God's creation, I think of the Grand Canyon or the trip that my wife and I took 5 years ago to New Zealand, and how we came away with such a sense of awe. The fjords, the mountains, the ice-blue rivers, the Tasman Sea. What beauty. It's hard to respond to that. Maybe through a picture, or through a hymn, glorious things of thee are spoken, a joy to the world, a joyful, joyful. Somehow I was singing those hymns, I'm sure out of tune, but it was really between me and God. And so as we think about the eternal rhythms and how we experience God's presence, is it not true that from time to time we experience his presence through the beauty and the order of creation? It was 1742 when George Frederick Handel sequestered himself in an apartment in London for 2 weeks, and he wrote the famous Messiah. Inspired by the word, through the words of Isaiah primarily, he gave us a piece of music for the ages. Did he not, for many of us, I'm sure, give us a sense of the eternal rhythms of God's presence? He said about halfway through his arduous task, he said, I felt as though the Almighty was all around me and surrounded by him as I was writing this piece. Often then, music is the medium through which we know God's presence. It's curious that the first hymn of the Bible of the Judeo-Christian faith is found in Exodus 15. After a few hundred Jews escaped the slavery of the Egyptians, they crossed the Reed Sea in about 1290 BC, and there they gathered together, and the first thing they did was break into song, and that is the first expression of corporate worship in the Judeo-Christian tradition. It was music to praise the Lord. By his own right hand, he has delivered us from slavery into freedom. Last night, we had a beautiful service of lessons and carols, one which I had the privilege of officiating at many times at St. George's over 23 years. What a moving service. And all of us remember the hymns we sang and the wonderful rendition of O Holy Night. Could it not be that the medium of music is often a way in which we experience the eternal rhythms of God's presence? And finally, let us look for a moment this morning on this Christmas day to the importance of the inward spirit of compassion, the experience that transforms us, whether we give it or whether we are on the receiving end of it. Carl Yastrzemski of the Boston Red Sox had a really tough job because he followed Ted Williams. Ted Williams may have been the greatest hitter of all time. I saw his last at bat when I was in Cambridge in graduate school in 1961. Next year, Carl Yastrzemski is struggling as a 20-year-old left fielder replacing the great Ted Williams. And after several weeks into the season, he's batting a meager 220, and he's just struck out three times against Frank Larry of the Detroit Tigers. Sitting dejectedly in the locker room, he didn't know if he was going to make it or be sent back to the minor leagues. And Mike Higgins, the manager, came up and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Yaz, don't worry about it. You were my left fielder yesterday, you're my left fielder today, and you are my left fielder tomorrow." Carl Yastrzemski went on to be voted into the Hall of Fame. Is it not true then that from time to time we know God's eternal presence through the experience of compassion? Albert Schweitzer was born in the Alsace region of France, and he may have been one of the most famous people of the 20th century. He was a son of a Lutheran minister, and he earned four doctorate degrees and took organ lessons from the famous Vidor in Paris and became one of the greatest organists of Europe and America. With earned doctorate degrees in philosophy and theology and also in music, he decided when he was in his 50s to do something else. He went to medical school. He said, "I love the theories and the arguments and the discussions about theology and philosophy, but now I must put my hand on it." As though he was going to extend the admonition of Jesus in Mark 1:41, and then, filled with compassion, he stretched his hand out to touch him. And so Lamborghini was built in French Equatorial Africa, and Albert Schweitzer had a new ministry. He hired young doctors, and doctors volunteered, and people volunteered, and a hospital was built. And people were treated that never would have been treated and lived full lives because of the medical attention of Albert Schweitzer and his team. In 1960, he received the Nobel Peace Prize. He was a man that saw before his time the dangers of nuclear power. As he was approaching his late 80s, he finally decided that he could not operate anymore. But he said, "There is one thing I can do." And for the next 2 years of his life, he held the hands of every patient who other younger surgeons were operating on. And then, filled with compassion, he reached his hand out and touched him. And so today we celebrate the birth of Jesus and also think about the eternal rhythms in our life of God's presence and how grateful we are that the coming of Jesus magnifies and illuminates his presence. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Thanks be to God.